Hi, I'm Mike Sklenz, and welcome to episode 43 of Nintendo World Report's Connectivity. We start with a segment from Scott, James, and Patrick about this summer's big licensed games. After that, we one-up Jeopardy with a new game show-inspired segment, Who Wants to Be a Nintendo Heir? Stick around if you'd like after the show ends for a bonus segment on The Amazing Spider-Man.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this segment of Connectivity about licensed games. I am Scott Thompson. Today I'm with James Dawson.
Hey.
And Patrick Barnett.
Hi, everyone.
And we're going to talk about some of the recent licensed games that released this summer. Entirely based around this summer's blockbuster movies. I think we've got some Batman, we've got some Brave, some Battleship, so we kind of got it all.
Batman's a little bit of a stretch to...
Well, yeah, I guess so. I guess that's right.
More than the others.
We'll include it just because I know Patrick has a raging boner right now for Batman. It probably has for like weeks.
It's just been building.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. actually, Patrick, why don't you start? Because I think what you played was probably the best of the bunch. And I know that was Lego Batman 2 for the DS. Or 3DS, actually.
For 3DS, yeah. It was probably really similar to the DS version. I'm just... assuming it turned out about the same. But it was lots of fun. I gave it a 7.5 on the website. And just something about it, I played a lot of Lego games. I played Lego Star Wars, Lego Harry Potter, the original Lego Batman. I actually dove into that one for a little bit. But this one, it just grabbed me more than other Lego games did. I'm not sure if it was the story, because it was an original story with... it had voice acting, which is a first for these Lego games.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And it just added something different, and I just felt like I kept wanting to move forward. And it was just fun controlling Batman and Robin and Superman. Those were the three heroes that you used mostly, even though it kind of advertises other superheroes.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, the commercial makes it sound like you can play like any of the Justice League, basically.
You can, but like that's in a separate game mode. Like in the story, you're basically limited to Batman, Robin, and Superman.
Okay.
Tiny forays into like Green Lantern and Cyber Guy. I don't remember his name, but he fires like a laser beam out of his eye.
Okay, yeah. So DC's version of Cyclops, I guess.
Yeah, I forget.
Now a bunch of comic nerds will like write in to tell me that this DC hero was first, and that like, Cyclops is copying him and all this stuff. But oh well.
Yeah.
Deal with it, Neil. So you said it had an original story. Talk about that a little bit. Like, what is the story of the game?
It was basically the Joker kind of teamed up with Lex Luthor, and they built this giant Joker robot that it looked really nice because you could tell it looked like they had crafted it basically out of Legos in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so it was a giant Lego statue, and it could fly, and basically they were terrorizing the city. It was
okay.
Gotham City, I suppose the setting is. But
yeah.
A lot of the missions, you would be like fighting outside the robot. You'd break inside the robot. You'd be chasing the robot through like a city street. That was like the second half of the game, and the first half was like building up to that point.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, that actually sounds pretty interesting, because I know I've played a handful of the Lego games, and I agree that like the story is pretty much inconsequential because it's, I mean, basically a rehash of whatever franchise it's based off
yeah.
of.
I mean, it still had all the basic Lego stuff, like you collect so many red bricks, there's all the other random collectibles in there. I did notice each Lego game, there's always like that true hero, true wizard, true Jedi.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Collect so many studs. That just felt easy in this game, too. I'm
not
sure
really?
If it was just me, but I got it on every single level.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Without trying. Hmm. It just kind of happened.
Well, maybe you're just that damn good. Yeah, awesome. And yeah, you get it. So is there any multiplayer to speak of?
None that I got to try. I'm not even sure, because I didn't actually get to try it out.
Okay, because I know that's a big thing in the console Lego games, the two-player co-op.
Yeah. But. There might be two-player local co-op. I'm just speculating here. I don't have the game with me. don't take my word for it.
Yeah, don't trust the guy who reviewed it, after all.
I know no one else with the 3DS or that owns the game, so
right.
I was a little limited.
Well, you people listening are pretty internet savvy. You can do a quick Google search.
There was no online co-op.
Sure, yeah.
You can go there.
And that I'm not surprised with, so...
Oh.
All right, well, let's move right along. Or, James, did you have something to say?
I was going
to
ask him, do you know how they handled the hub world? Because I know in the console version, it's more like an open world, kind of like GTA.
In this game, they didn't really go for that. It's just basically the Batcave, where you can either go to, like, the computer and you can unlock new characters using the studs you collected, go on story missions, or go do just, like, random beat-em-up missions, which they called Justice League mode, I believe it was called. And all they were just kill enemies with the different Justice League members.
Oh, okay. So that's when the other characters come
into
play.
But the hub world was just the Batcave, like three or four platforms in the Batcave where you could access those different elements of the game.
Was there a Lego Alfred?
Not that I saw. Maybe he's hidden in there somewhere.
That's an unlockable character.
You could design your own Lego character, I believe.
Oh, really? Yeah.
There was like a character creator.
Oh, could you use it, like, to fight, or what was the point of it?
I'm not sure either.
Damn it. Okay, well, another quick Google search, people. Patrick, you're in trouble. I think we've just outed that you didn't actually play this game. I think you just wrote some stuff, made it up.
That's what I did.
So, James, I know you've played two of the games we're going to talk about, but let's start with the oldest, and that is the 3DS, I would assume, version of Battleship.
Actually, I got the Wii version. Alex got the 3DS.
Oh, you had the Wii version.
Yeah. They're identical, though, so it doesn't make a big difference.
Okay. So talk a little bit about... Because I can't even imagine like what would go on in that game. I really hope it's just literally Battleship, but I have a feeling it's not.
It's basically a Battleship version of Advance Wars.
Okay.
That's pretty much all it is. It's, I mean, it's a really decent strategy game. It's not really anything mind-blowing. The story's... I pretty much ignored the story the entire way through. It's not the worst movie game I've played. The art in the game's kind of iffy. It looks odd. It's really cartoony, especially the character images. It's like, because whenever they show the story, it's just static images of the characters.
Okay.
And I'm pretty sure like the Wii game and the 3DS game both, I mean, are pretty much identical. I'm pretty sure they just ported the Wii game to the 3DS. So there's really no, the graphics on the Wii are kind of, they look kind of subpar on this game. But as far as gameplay goes, it's really just a simple version of Advance Wars. There's really not much to say about it.
Is it as difficult as Advance Wars? Because I always had issues with the difficulty in Advance Wars.
There were a few parts where I failed some missions, but it's not very hard.
Just be a problem with me and my ability to play.
I know what you're talking about because I've had problems on Dual Strike on Advance Wars, and especially on the later levels. But this game, I think I died twice, but otherwise I really didn't have any problems. There are some parts where you really need to think about strategy. Where you'll have ships coming in and they'll block your path. Say if you want to, there are certain levels where you have to get to a certain area on the map or you lose. And there are times where your path will be blocked on that. So those take a little bit of strategy, but otherwise it's not very hard.
So back to the images you were talking about. So these like characterization, like cartoons of like Liam Neeson and like Rihanna and stuff. Then is that it's like
honestly so. I don't think they had any characters from the movie in it. They may have had some, but I think most of them were just original characters because I don't even know if the game followed the movie story. It may have. It may have been like... I imagine it was off to the side like extra characters or support characters.
Right. Okay. Wow. That doesn't sound too bad, though. What did you give it when you reviewed it?
7, I think.
7? Okay.
Yeah, so it's
and easy. Was there any multiplayer in that game? Like, could you play against a friend?
No.
Okay.
Which is the really odd thing with the Battleship game.
Right. I mean, that seems to beg for it. So, and then the other game you reviewed... was tied to the recent Pixar release, and that is Brave for the 3DS.
Yeah, another game that really doesn't follow the story of the movie.
Does it not? I'll be interested to talk about that, because I reviewed Brave for the Wii, which we'll talk about next, and I haven't seen the movie yet, so I assumed it had a very loosely followed it, because yeah. I doubt the movie was just a series of, like, 8 levels.
Yeah, because I actually went to see the movie just because I got the review, and
sure.
It's odd, because in the game, I don't know if this is the same with the Wii, but in the DS game, it has Mara, the game, the movie's protagonist, running after her mom, who's been turned into a bear.
Yeah.
And in the movie, she's pretty much with her mom at all times, but in the game, at least in the DS game, you never see the mother, other than except at the beginning of the game and at the end of the game.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, that's kind of weird. In the, I guess we'll just roll these all into one talk, but in the Wii version, how it works is, like, the game starts with you chasing your mom, and I actually kind of liked the beginning of the game. It was kind of cool how they did it. Basically, the first level is, like, the tutorial level, but then every few minutes after, you know, being taught, like, how to jump or attack or anything like that, there's these, like, sort of animated cutscenes that pop up and sort of introduce little bits of the story. So by the end of the tutorial level, like, you're completely caught up with, like, what's happening and why she's chasing this bear. Because it just opens with this, you know, orange-haired girl chasing a bear, and it's like, what is going on? But by the end of it, you know, they pretty much explain that she's been turned into the bear, you know, by the character you're playing as and everything like that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you're not alongside the bear. How it works is, like, it seems like you're chasing the bear the entire game, and then randomly there'll be these battles where there's so many enemies that it's too much for the main character to handle, and then her bear mom just appears, and then you actually play as the bear mom and kill all the enemies.
Yeah.
And then she runs away again, and you're back as the girl. So.
Yeah, the bear mom was never in the DS game, and honestly, there was really no point in the game where I would have needed help with enemies, because all you had to do most of the time is just sit there and press the A button and shoot arrows, because all the enemies were interrupted immediately once they were attacked.
Oh, yeah, I read that in your review. Like, their animation stopped. Like, whatever they're doing is canceled out. Yeah. Hmm.
And this this was actually made the worst in the last boss, which I'm sure it's okay to spoil it. It's the last boss is basically a kill room where you have a tower with the bear in the movie named Mordu. He's just sitting on the tower, and you kill a series of enemies, and they just come. They keep coming at you. I didn't even move. I just sat there and pressed A. And once you kill them all, the tower falls and the game's over.
Little anticlimactic there, yeah. I guess. Yeah, the Wii version, I guess, spoilers again, who really cares? It's pretty similar to that, except you're actually climbing the tower, so, like, each level of the tower, you fight a different, like, group of enemies, and then once you beat them, yeah, like, basically, then you can move on to the next level, and then you just get to the very top, you kill the last group of enemies, and then same thing, that's it. You don't fight, like, the big giant bear, like, that's it. It's just kind of weird.
Yeah.
The Wii version of this game is pretty bad. Like, I went and I looked at some reviews, and at the time there weren't any reviews of the Wii version up when I was writing my review, but there were some reviews of the you know, the HD versions on the 360, the PS3, and both of those actually got pretty decent reviews, like around, you know, sevens. And playing through the Wii version, I mean, to me it was definitely, I mean, a little bit below a 5. Like, it was average, but there were things that were definitely holding it back. One of the main things was that to use your sword, you had to swing the Wii remote, and it was just so completely unresponsive that it was just useless. I mean, enemies would surround you, and you would just be shaking the remote, and your character would just be standing there, which necessitated then the use of the bow. But the thing is, using the bow was actually a lot of fun, because you could you'd move your character with the thumbstick on the nunchuck, and then you would use the directions of the D-pad on the Wii remote to shoot your bow and arrow, like, in any direction. And so I kind of wrote my review that it reminded me of, like, Robotron 64, where you're moving around, you're strafing around and shooting arrows, like, in every direction at enemies all around you as they're swarming you. And it was actually kind of fun. Like, I was actually kind of getting into it. And it was the only way to play the game, because, again, the sword combat was just useless.
Yeah. The DS was the same. The sword combat was useless. But as far as the bow goes, it was pretty much like an auto-aim. So...
Okay.
Just press A and it hit everything. Especially when you upgrade the bow, because it has some minor RPG elements to it where you can upgrade different things in the game. And once you upgrade
the
bow,
same in the Wii one.
Yeah. Once you upgrade it, the arrows scatter and kill more enemies. So there was really no point in moving at all. You could just sit there and press the A button.
Right. What I like too, I don't know if they had it in the 3DS version, but in the Wii version, there were different charms that you could equip. There's, like, fire, earth, wind and ice, I guess, water.
Yeah.
And, yeah, and so enemies would have different, like, innate colors. So, you know, if you're coming up an enemy that was a fire enemy, then you equipped ice and you would do extra damage. And then what became cool is later on, when you'd be in these fights, you'd be fighting, like, two or three enemies of different types. And it kind of gave you incentive to sort of pick the charm that was going to do the most damage to sort of the biggest enemy, you know, the enemy that posed the most threat to you. Yeah. So there was some, like, strategy involved, which was kind of cool, actually.
Yeah, that would have been neat in the DS version.
I was just going to say, I had played the HD version at E3, and yeah. That different charm, the different elements, that was actually really interesting and probably one of the highlights of the demo.
Right, yeah, it definitely was. And like I said, as you went further along and started fighting different enemies at the same time, it became kind of cool,
yeah.
You know, managing that and paying attention to that.
Mm-hmm.
But on the downside, the Wii version is just, like, absolutely awful looking. like I try not to, like, bring that kind of stuff up very much, because, of course, I mean, it goes without saying, like, any game that's on the Wii and the PS3 or 360, it's going to look better on those other systems. Like, it's
kind of
just...
Now, was it so bad that you couldn't tell what... type of element the enemies were?
Yes, at times. And there were even health bars above the enemies, and because the camera zoomed out so far and everything's just so muddy that, like, you couldn't even see the health bars above the enemies. Okay. Like, you could see it was there, but you couldn't tell what it was displaying to you. Like, you couldn't tell how much you had hurt an enemy.
I meant it to be a joke, and now I'm understanding the actual reality of this
issue. It was just ugly. By the end of the game, you don't even need to look at it, though, because you can just tell by which enemy it is, like, what's going to hurt it. And they're all pretty obvious. Like, you know, like, the fire enemies are all, like, they're on fire. And they, when they move around, they leave fire behind them and stuff, so it's pretty easy to tell. And, the you know, the flying enemies are weak against wind and stuff like that. But, yeah, it was just atrocious looking, and the camera would stay so far zoomed out that you just, like, you couldn't tell at times what you were doing, especially when there were a lot of enemies on the screen. And then, you know, similar to that was the platforming in the game. And because the camera would be so far zoomed out and kind of at a weird angle, when you'd be jumping from, like, platform to platform, you couldn't tell, really. I mean, every jump was like a leap of faith. You couldn't tell where you needed to be jumping to. So you would just randomly jump and just hope you saw your shadow on the next platform that you're trying to get to. Otherwise, you just fell to your, you know, your death. You respawn and you just lose a chunk of health. But, like, it was just annoying. Like, every jump was just, like, hazardous. And you never felt sure of what you were really doing.
Yeah, the DS had that too, especially on moving platforms, like when you have a river and the platforms are moving down the river.
Yes.
That was was ridiculous.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, so it suffered from a lot of those things. I know, you know, I can't remember his name now, but someone was kind of looking forward to the Wii review and was disappointed when the game didn't review well. And if you're listening now, I would suggest maybe checking out one of the HD versions. Because I know, Patrick, you played it, and it sounds like a lot of the issues I had with the game are probably alleviated in those versions.
The short demo I played, I didn't have issues with it, really. I've played games like this before where it's cooperative. I'm not sure if you mentioned the co-op element of it yet, but games like that, I enjoy playing them. Like, sit down with my brother, and it's like hack and slash through the game mostly.
Right, and actually it reminded me a lot of a Lego game. I mean, everything explodes, it drops like a bunch of, I don't even know what the currency was in the game, but basically coins, and then you could spend those, you know, to buy your upgrades and stuff like that. The one thing I will say, and I mentioned it in my review, is that the co-op, though, unlike a Lego game where then it splits the screen if the two players get too far apart, in this game it only follows the first player, so... you can play co-op, but then if the first player is going one way while the second player is trying to do something else, the second player is just left off screen and then eventually teleports back to the first player. So
I guess I did have that issue at E3 as well.
Yeah, and it's fine if you're cooperating, but I wrote that, I mean, two kids, like, it reminded me of playing like Sonic 2 when I was a kid and making my little brother play his Tails, and it's just like it's worthless. It's like, yeah, when you're standing still fighting the boss is great, but whenever there's like movement to be done, I mean, you're just going to be left behind.
It's going to be like that new Super Mario Brothers 2, isn't it?
Yeah.
I believe.
The co-op which is so stupid.
Yeah.
I don't even want to talk about that.
Isn't it that way
just
in...
just made me think of that.
Yeah, isn't it that way in New Super Mario Bros. Me as well? I mean, not me, we.
It is, but the screen will zoom out quite a ways before it makes the second person...
In fact, on the 3DS, it just seems weird because you're both using separate systems with separate screens.
Right.
Like, why can't you both track... I don't know.
It's especially
how awesome would that be?
It's especially weirder now because I've been playing the original New Super Mario Bros. On DS with my mom, and you don't have to see each other on the same screen. on that game. I know.
Oh yeah, the multiplayer in that. Yeah, that multiplayer is awesome. Yeah, I don't know. It's just weird. It's a missed opportunity for them. Yeah. But yeah, what are you gonna do? But yeah, I gave Brave a 4.5. I think if you have kids who really, really love Brave and the Wii's the only system you have, like, it might be worth it. They might get enough enjoyment out of it. But it's over pretty quick. I mean, you can beat it in probably about 4 hours, maybe 5 hours. And the Wii version is just so poorly done. It's just disappointing. But yeah, that's how I felt about it. James, what did you give the 3DS version?
4.5 as well.
So it wasn't much better. It sounds like
I would probably say the DS version's worse. So maybe get the Wii version if you have kids.
Yeah, but maybe just stay away from it. Maybe just go see the movie again. And you know, Patrick, I want you to take note. James was reviewing a game about a movie he'd never seen, so he went out and saw the movie, and yet you didn't even test every mode in the game that you reviewed.
I'm sorry, I didn't build a custom Lego character.
Well, damn it, Patrick, I need to know what it does. I'm assuming you've already sold the game, so I'm going to need you to go back to your GameStop and track it down.
It is sitting on my shelf behind me. I will go get it for you, and yes. I will figure this out for you.
Yeah, great. I expect an addendum to your review.
Yes. Editor's note mistakes on the bottom.
Yeah, exactly. Perfect. Awesome. Well, thanks, guys, for joining me. I think that will do it. So, not a great selection of licensed games, with the exception probably of the Lego Batman. So check that out. Did we review the Wii version, Patrick? Do you know? Who reviewed that?
Pedro's reviewing it. I'm not sure if his review is up yet.
Okay. Well, yeah, I look forward to that.
It should be coming soon.
I bet. I've heard great things about the game all around, so I'm sure it would be great on either platform. So, cool. All right, guys. Well, thanks for joining me, and we'll see you later.
Thanks.
Yep. See ya.
Bye.
Welcome to Connectivity. In the spirit of our Jeopardy segments, we've come up with something a little bit different than Jeopardy. We're going to be putting Zach Miller. Say hi, Zach. We're going to put Zachary Miller into the hot seat and play a little bit of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Or as I've coined it, Who Wants to Be a Nintendo Heir?
You know, Nintendo has a franchise called Million Hair.
Yeah, they do.
Do they?
Mystery Case
they
Files.
They do. It's a Mystery Case Files. Yeah, it's just
a game called that, actually. Because the series is Mystery Case Files.
Oh, you're right.
So Zach's going to have to answer the questions sequentially from 100 all the way to a million points. Could be dollars, but I have no dollars to give. So Zach will have 3 lifelines. The first one will be 50-50, where I remove 2 of the wrong answers. Second question will be ask the audience, and the audience is Neil, who is already heard, and Patrick. Say hi, Patrick.
Hello, everyone.
So Zach can ask Neil or Patrick what their thoughts are on the question. And then the third lifeline is I'm feeling lucky, and Zach gets to pull up Google and spend 15 seconds performing a single Google search using I'm feeling lucky.
So good.
Excellent.
So with all that said, Zach, are you ready to play Who Wants to Be a Nintendo Heir?
Never more than right now.
Okay. If Zach gets to the 1,000-point question, if he passes that question, he will leave with at least 1,000 points. other than that, he can always choose to walk away, and he will keep the score of the last question he answered correctly, which will only really matter in the case of comparing scores to the other people who play this later on.
So this is kind of like achievement points.
Kind of like achievement points.
I like that.
So we'll, Zach,
we'll
are you
for
ready
the,
for the
Avatar The Last Airbender set of questions for someone to get a
brilliant
really good score?
You get a million points without even trying. Zach, are you ready to begin?
Let's do it, sir.
Okay. For 100 points, which of the following items is presented along with the quote, "It's dangerous to go alone, take this"? The answers are A, Super Mushroom, B, Morph Ball, C, Wooden Sword, and D, Flood.
Regis, I'm going to go with C, Wooden Sword.
And you've gone with C, Wooden Sword, final answer?
That is my final answer, Regis.
That is correct, Mr. Zachary Miller.
Yay!
I would have been concerned if he got that one wrong.
Yeah. For 200 points, which of the following Pikmin were new additions to the game in Pikmin 2? A, blue Pikmin, B, white Pikmin, C, yellow Pikmin, or D, clear Pikmin?
Those ones would be hard to see. I'm going to go with B, white Pikmin, seeing as I just played that game the other day.
Final answer?
And it is still awesome. Yes, final answer.
Final answer, B, white Pikmin. That is correct.
I feel like that one's a lot easier because Pikmin 2 is on everyone's mind. If this was like last year, oh man, we'd all be fucked except for you and JP.
For 300 points, which of the following franchises contains a game with the subtitle Sentinels of the Starry Skies?
Okay.
A, Final Fantasy, B, The Legend of Zelda, C, Castlevania, or D, Dragon Quest?
I own this game, Reggie, so I'm not Reggie.
Reggie?
I guess you can call him Reggie.
He would be an excellent host for this game.
Maybe that's
holy crap.
Photoshop, please? Someone?
Yes.
That would be far too intimidating.
You can either walk away,
go with
or
D,
I will
Dragon
kick
Quest
your ass
as, I have the game and love it.
For 300 points, D, Dragon Quest. Final answer?
Yes, final answer.
That is correct.
So the 200 and the 300 ones, Scott said they were too hard.
He thought maybe he wasn't familiar enough with the game.
Well, that's
question.
Just Scott's fault. Those are pretty easy.
That's what I thought.
If you
too.
Have a passing familiarity with either game, take.
I would think so.
Oh my gosh. Andy, you have to start out this game in the future by saying, is your body ready for who wants to be a Nintendo?
I feel like a purple Pikmin.
Oh god.
I still like that.
Moving
okay,
along.
Sorry to interrupt. What the fuck did he mean by that?
I don't know.
Like, does he think
no
he's
idea.
Fat and can carry a lot? Like, whatever, move on.
For 500 points, in which Super NES title does the character Mai Shiranai appear? A, Fatal Fury Special, B, Samurai Showdown 2, C, Super Street Fighter 2 The New Challengers, or D, Ultimate Mortal Kombat 3?
Well, it's got to be Fatal Fury Special because she wasn't around for Samurai Showdown. Also, I know this because it's Mai Shiranui.
I had a feeling you might be at least passingly familiar with who this was.
I would have used a fucking lifeline on this one.
I had no idea.
So you're going with Fatal Fury Special, Zach?
I am.
Final answer?
Yes, sir.
Final answer, A, Fatal Fury Special, and that is correct.
See, that's nice. The one where I would have gone 50-50, and you would have taken away C and D, and I would have been like Fatal Fury Samurai Showdown, two games that I have no familiarity with.
For the 50-50, I'm going to use random.org
Ooh,
to randomly select two wrong answers.
Great.
So it's not going to be strategic in trying to give you the two, like, the hardest answers left.
You thought this out, man.
I have thought this out.
Not surprisingly, I've been looking for a good Mai Shiranui figure for years.
not all that surprising. Okay, Zach, moving on to 1,000 points. If you get this question correct, you will be locked in to get at least 1,000 points.
I guess we'll have to keep some sort of leaderboard if we do this with
I agree.
Any kind of regularity.
Which of the following games has never appeared on the North American Virtual Console?
Ooh.
A, Eternal Champions. B, Ninja Gaiden 3, The Ancient Ship of Doom. C, Killer Instinct. Or D, Super C.
The North American Virtual Console. It's C, Killer Instinct, which is a rare-owned game. And, well, you know what? So are the Donkey Kong games.
Yeah,
they're
but...
rare-owned. They're a Nintendo property. So we're going to go with Killer Instinct, which is a shame, because that game's pretty cool.
Killer Instinct?
Yes, sir.
Final answer?
Yes, sir.
That is correct.
You know what's kind of ridiculous? How fucking hard it is to get Killer Instinct Gold. I think I've probably mentioned this on the show before, but I have been trying to accumulate all the rare Nintendo 64 games for a feature, and that's the one damn game I couldn't get.
Yeah, that'd be a tricky one to get, I would imagine.
Like, I got Mickey Speedway USA, for God's sakes, but I can't find Killer Instinct Gold.
Okay, Zach, you've gotten the 1,000-point question. You are at least leaving the game with 1,000 points. The questions get a little bit more tricky. Let's move on to the 2,000-point question, shall we?
My body is ready.
What is the current price of Art of Balance Touch on the Nintendo eShop?
Are you serious?
A, $4.99, B, $5.99, C, $6.99, or D, $7.99?
What? What? Okay, Regis, I'm going to go with one of my lifelines.
Okay.
I'm going to ask the audience.
That's probably a solid
guess. So yeah, this work where like Patrick and I can converse about it.
Yeah, just you guys talk amongst yourselves.
All right. So Patrick, I think it's 6 or 7, but I'm
Yeah, it's 6 or 7.
Don't fuck with me, Neil.
honestly, I'm not sure.
I don't think it was 8 or 5. It's either
yeah,
3 or 6.
Like, I know it's not 7. The high. I know it's not the low. I want to say 6, but...
I was feeling 7.
As in $5.99 or $6.99?
As in B, as opposed to C. So $5.99 as opposed to $6.99. I think it's $5.99.
I was leaning closer to $6.99, but...
I bought this on the plane ride back from E3.
I remember.
Yeah,
and how much
fun.
Did you pay for it?
I don't know. I already had the money on my eShop account.
Like a 50-50.
Yeah, pretty much.
Andy, I'm going to say $5.99. Fuck you two.
$5.99? Is that your final answer?
Sure.
Oh, Mr. Zach Miller. I'm afraid you're leaving with 1,000 points.
I was right.
Oh, wow.
The correct answer is C, $6.99.
I can't believe they would price an Art of Balance game at anything more than $5 or $6.
The funny thing is that, Zach, immediately when you were like, I'm going to go with $5.99, I'm like, fuck, it's probably the other one.
Yeah, me too. I was exactly like that. And hey.
You were right.
Well, that was a good game. Let's hand it over to Neil.
All right. Let's see if I can top your 1,000 points.
Yeah.
Congratulations, 1,000. Not a bad first start. Let's go over to the harder set of questions that I wrote.
All right,
excellent.
We'll see. It's all depends on what you know and what you don't know. So, let's move on to our next hot seat contestant, Mr. Neil Ronahan. Welcome to the game.
I'm glad to be here.
Let's start out at 100 points. Which of the following is the protagonist in the NES game Castlevania? A. Mario. B. Simon Belmont. C. Scrooge McDuck. Or D. Sonic the Hedgehog.
That would be B. Simon Belmont. Final answer.
That is correct.
The funny thing is I was kind of shitting my pants a little bit because I was like, man, if he whips out a couple Belmonts, I'm done.
That would not be a 100-point question if I listed more than one Belmont. Or even more than one character from a Gothic video game. or even four characters that appeared on the NES. Moving on to 200 points. In the term CD-ROM, which of the following represents what ROM stands for? A. Round Old Memory. B. Red Orange Memory. C. Write On Memory. Or D. Read Only Memory.
That would be C. Read Only Memory.
That's a really good question, Zach. You're correct, Neil. I think that was when I was stretching to find an early question.
Oh, okay.
And plus, there's never been a Nintendo system with a CD-ROM attachment. I think I assumed it was a good game question because games come on CD-ROMs, but never a game from Nintendo. So, yeah. For 300 points, which of the following is not a character from the GameCube title Super Monkey Ball? A. I.I. B. Bonkers. C. Gone Gone. Or D. Baby.
That would be B. Bonkers.
That is correct.
I like how you almost went A, B, C, D for like, because I is A, B is Bonkers.
Oh. I did almost, didn't I? Moving on to 500 points.
Oh, shit.
This game came bundled with subscriptions to Nintendo Power in 1990. A. Castlevania II, Simon's Quest. B. Final Fantasy. C. Super Mario Bros. 2. Or D. Dragon Warrior.
That would be D. Dragon Warrior.
Final
yes.
answer? That is correct.
Yes.
I believe that's the game awesome. I owned and loved a lot.
Really?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. I ended up getting it used at a Choice Video or something. I forget. That might have only been the Northeast brand that probably even predated Patrick knowing about movie stores.
I had the copy that came with a magazine, and I played the crap out
yeah.
of it.
Yeah. I mean, that was my first experience with Dragon Warrior, and then I played Dragon Warrior Monsters, and then kind of forgot about it until I played Dragon Quest V.
It's true. Cool. Moving on to the 1,000 and tying question with Mr. Zach Miller.
Wow, we got here quick.
We did. How many stages are in the NES game Kid Icarus?
I love it.
A, 16. B, 13. C, 15. Or D, 20.
I'm going to use a lifeline.
Okay.
I'm going to ask the audience, because I know both of these fine young chaps played this game pretty recently.
Okay.
All right.
Zach, Patrick?
I have to count it out here. Hold
yeah,
on a
I'm
second.
Thinking.
I know. It's C.
What's your reasoning?
Wait a second. Maybe it's not. Hold on. Or
I'm thinking
3 is 12. Oh, it's
yeah,
B. You're right.
Yeah,
it's
B. Yeah.
Because what? There's
it,
like.
It's three sets of four stages.
I don't know how to do math.
Three sets of four stages and a final one.
And then the final.
Yep. All right. I'm going to go with B, 13.
Final answer?
Yes.
That is correct.
Yes.
Boys, you see how our babbling was helpful, Neil, with the
I were divided. That was a worst case scenario. You had two other lifelines, Zach.
Yeah, I would have used 50-50 on your question, Zach.
Yeah,
I probably would have as well. Now.
Okay. You are locked in for 1,000 points. Let's move on to the harder question, shall we? For 2000, which of the following was Rare's first video game developed for a Nintendo platform? A. Slalom. B. Wizards and Warriors. C. RC Pro-Am. Or D. Soccer.
Announced RC Pro-Am.
Pro-Am? I'm sorry.
I'm gonna go with 50-50.
Okay, let me pull up random.org and get rid of a couple of games. Hold on. So your choices are A, Slalom, and C, RC Pro-Am.
Alright, I've never even heard of Slalom. And that's kind of what worries me. But, you know what? Because I'm kind of curious to see how this crazy shit's going to work. I'm going to try the last lifeline. So,
okay.
So how do I do this? So I go to Google.
Go to Google.com, type in any search term you want, hit I'm feeling lucky, but before you hit that, I'm going to time you for 15 seconds.
Okay.
And you have to close the browser window once the timer's up. Hold on.
So that means I type in what I want and then tell you, and then you will start the timer?
Correct.
Alright, I'm doing list of Rare developed video games.
Ready and search.
Okay. I'm going to go with Slalom.
Final answer?
Yes.
That is correct.
Seriously? My God.
Yeah, because I just went to... It took a list of Rare developed video games took me to Wikipedia. And the first thing there was Slalom.
I had a feeling it might do that.
All right, and I'm all out of lifelines, but I made it. I beat Zach.
Okay, 2,000 points. Moving on to the 4,000-point question. I have a feeling you might have an edge up on the next question, Neil. For 4,000 points, which of the following games was not a Game Boy Advance launch title in North America? A, F-Zero Maximum Velocity. B, Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2.
That was.
C, Pitfall the Mayan Adventure.
Ooh.
Or D, Madden NFL 2002.
Oh, shit.
Oh, Game Boy Advance.
So,
okay, I gotcha.
Madden NFL 2002 would have come out... That wouldn't have been out of launch. So... Shit. I'm gonna go with D, Madden NFL 2002. Because that would have come out in August.
That's your final answer?
Yeah, that's my final answer.
And that is correct.
Wow.
That came out
in all honesty. I was very worried, and then I did my Madden math.
That was a November release, I believe.
Yeah. Oh, really? Didn't it come out during August? I think I have Madden NFL 2003 on Game Boy. I wound up finding it for like $5.
And yeah.
It had Andrew WK's Party Hard. It was the only song in the game.
That's excellent.
All you need.
Okay. 8,000 points. Which magic spell lets you through locked doors in Zelda 2: The Adventure of Link?
Oh, fuck you.
A,
wow,
door.
Wow, there's a Zelda 2 question from Andy.
Surprise!
A, door. B, jump. C, fairy. Or D, spell.
See, this is the kind of one where I'm just like, well, it's probably door. But I don't think it would be jump. I don't think it would be fairy. You know, I'm going to go with A, door.
Final answer?
Yes.
Sorry, the correct answer is actually fairy.
Really?
Oh my god, I knew that.
I didn't.
Yeah.
I've not played enough Zelda 2.
If you turn into a fairy in Zelda 2,
anymore.
you can go through a locked... You can go through the keyhole of a locked door.
All right, well...
I'll take you back to 1,000 points.
That's fine.
You tied Zach.
Nice. That was a good. That was some good stuff right there.
Yeah, I had a good run. I'm happy.
So I think I'm going to abandon the million point question I had written for this round because it's a little too bullshit. Would you like to hear what it was?
Yes,
I would.
Yes, I would.
So the million point question for this particular round. I wrote, and I'll let you guys collaborate on this and come up with the answer. How many free floating coins are in stage 1-2 of Super Mario Brothers?
Are you serious right now?
A, 30. B, 28. C, 33. Or D, 41.
Free floating coins?
You need to die in a fire, Andy.
That means coins that are not located in a block is all.
I want to say it's on the lower end, because I'm thinking back to that level, and most of them are in blocks.
There's that group of them in kind of a hook-shaped space. How many is that?
This does count coins inside of the pipes as well.
Oh, fuck.
Oh.
Just not ones in blocks.
This suddenly started sucking a lot more.
All right.
You can't count those because there's no way to know how many you get.
I'm looking for a coin to flip. Yeah, this will do. All right. This lands heads, I think it's A. If it lands tails, I think it's B.
I think it's B.
I'm going to go C.
I'm going B. Or actually,
you know
to be different, are we all going to be unanimously B? Or
I'm
going to
say D.
I'm going to go with A.
B.
Patrick was the closest. It's C.
Of course it is.
Patrick almost guessed the right answer and then changed his mind at the last minute.
They were all so close together, so I went
okay,
to a radically
so
different one.
How the fuck did you figure this out?
I found a map online that had all the coins laid out.
You're an ass.
that's why I'm throwing the question out, because it's way too... There's no way anyone knows that.
Yeah.
It's guesswork. At least all the other questions I had written out are things you could know if you knew the right topics, but that's not a thing anyone could know.
I really like this.
I do too.
Are we doing Jeopardy tomorrow,
by the way? Jeopardy's tomorrow,
know.
Right?
We should wrap this up and not talk
I
about
agree.
Things that we're doing later.
Yeah.
Probably not. Well, guys, thanks for coming on the show. We will continue to do this. We will see if Patrick, maybe Danny Bivens, maybe Mike Sklens can top your 1,000 point score. Hopefully these questions weren't too bullshit for you guys.
Yeah, I've actually played Zelda 2. I mean, I will at least played it more than the first dungeon.
I really wish I could have gotten to the next question in this round because I think it would. You know, I'm just gonna go ahead and ask it,
and
I'll write more later. For 16,000 points, if you had gotten the fairy question correct, Neil,
yeah,
which game was featured on the cover of the December 2002 issue of Nintendo Power? A, The Legend of Zelda Wind Waker. B, maybe. Star Wars Rogue Leader.
No.
C, Eternal Darkness Sanity's Requiem.
Nope.
Or D, Metroid Fusion.
Oh, interesting.
I think...
I know this one.
Because the December issue would have been out during November, so I think that might be Fusion, but it's weird that it wouldn't be Prime on the cover. I mean, there's a chance it could be Wind Waker. It's definitely not Rogue Leader or Eternal Darkness.
I feel like Wind Waker's too obvious.
It's so Metroid Fusion.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's Metroid Fusion.
You would have gotten that question correct.
Yeah, I like that question a lot.
Yeah. But there's no way you would have gotten the next one, though. But I'll save that for another game.
All right, that seems like it's good. I like
good
this.
Stuff, guys. I like that game.
All right. Thanks for playing, guys. We'll do this again soon.
Hey,
bye.
Who wants to be a millionaire?
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoyed the episode. Don't forget, you can email us at connectivity@nintendoworldreport.com, and if you rate and review the show on iTunes, we will love you forever. Stick around now for a bonus segment on The Amazing Spider-Man.
So coming at you with a bonus segment for the connectivity. I am Neil Monahan, and with me is Zachary Miller and Patrick Barnett.
Hey.
What up?
We're going to talk about a little webbed wonder, The Amazing Spider-Man, the movie that came out approximately 2 weeks ago, almost actually literally to the day.
Wow.
It was July 3rd, and today is July 17th as we are recording this. You will be hearing this more than 2 weeks after the movie came out. But all three of us have seen the movie. I guess we're just going to talk about it for a little bit. I can say from my angle, I'm a pretty big Spider-Man fan, definitely more so when I was younger. And I kind of developed a retroactive dislike and a hate for all the Sam Raimi movies, except for the third one, because the third one might be one of the better comedies of 2007.
Hey, the second movie's okay.
Nah, not even that. I think the second movie is boring.
Alfred Molina.
He's the best part about it, because Tobey Maguire hasn't quite gone full ridiculousness like he did in Spider-Man 3. Kirsten Dunst looks like she's sleepwalking through most of it. It always kills me in all of those movies, because Kirsten Dunst is like, she's got good acting chops in some movies that I've seen her in. She's generally pretty cute, but in all the Spider-Man movies, she acts like shit and she doesn't look attractive, except for the one scene in Spider-Man 1 where you can see her nipples.
And not even there.
Yeah, and that's like, well, I'm, you know, I'm 12, 13 years old when this came out.
Oh, it was exciting then, yeah.
I would take that at that point. But yeah, I mean, I do not like the Sam Raimi movies. I think they're pretty shitty.
They've aged poorly, that's for sure.
Tobey Maguire is an abysmal Spider-Man.
Oh, awful.
All the villains are fun except for Sandman. I think Willem Dafoe is kind of what was missing from The Amazing Spider-Man.
And let's be honest, Venom was poorly cast.
Well, I mean, I love Topher Grace, so it was fun seeing him overact.
He would have been a better Spider-Man.
He would have. That's who I wanted as Spider-Man from the very beginning.
One of the redeeming qualities of those movies was Joel McHale.
Oh, yeah, I forgot he was in
oh,
that.
Oh, yeah.
And also James Franco as Harry Osborn was fun. Not good, just fun.
You know what one aspect of the Sam Raimi movies was missing from The Amazing Spider-Man?
J. Jonah?
Yes.
Yeah.
That needed to happen with the same
well,
actor.
Patrick, you have not piped up about your stance on the Sam Raimi movies. How do you feel about them?
I thought they were okay. I mean, I guess I was a younger child then, so...
I mean, I'll be honest. When I saw the first two movies, like, my world was fucking rocked.
Yeah, from a younger perspective, you enjoy them more. But after seeing The Amazing Spider-Man, I definitely like that more than I like the other ones.
Yeah, like, The Amazing Spider-Man is kind of more what I wanted to see out of a Spider-Man movie. And I think I saw someone on Twitter that just tweeted simply, like, fuck you, Sam Raimi. This is the movie you should have made 10 years ago. And I think The Amazing Spider-Man is kind of, you know, a little bit disappointing because it is basically Sam Raimi's 2002 origin story through a different lens. Because The Amazing Spider-Man kicks off with the whole origin of Peter Parker becoming Spider-Man. And, you know, there's some differences. You know, of course, you have different actors playing the roles and, you know, a little bit of a different twist that I think is awesome.
A little more Ultimate Spider-Man this time around.
Yeah, very much more similar to Ultimate Spider-Man. You got Gwen Stacy instead of Mary Jane. I think Emma Stone fucking rocked it. She was basically, like, she was Gwen Stacy on the screen. She owned that character. She actually looked like a high school student, despite being in her mid-20s. Unlike Andrew Garfield, who looked like he was, like, a 30-year-old man.
He's 28.
I think he's damn near 30. But,
although he was good at acting awkward around her. That was one of the funniest parts of the movie for me.
There were definitely a lot of, like, mumblecore moments in The Amazing Spider-Man that kind of, I guess, you know, there was, like, the scene where he's just like, you know, like, maybe we can do, I don't know, or we can
or
do
the other thing.
That, or what.
That went on and on.
Yeah, you know, like, I mean, that was kind of funny, but it happened a little too often. I did like when he web-zipped Emma Stone's butt.
That was awesome.
But I really like, I mean, I thought Andrew Garfield was fantastic as Spider-Man, especially when he put on the suit.
Yeah.
When he put on the suit, it was fucking fantastic. It really was. You saw him, like, bounce around, and I think it was primarily CGI when he was in the suit, and I think that's what you have to do.
Sure.
Because it makes him look like a creature as opposed to a dude in a suit.
Well, it
which
looked
is,
really good in CG.
Yeah.
I mean, better than the CG Spider-Man, who looked kind of like, you know, remember in the second Matrix movie when he was fighting all the Agent Smiths and they all looked kind of like rubber, you know, rubber people? That's what Spider-Man looks like now when you look at it back in the Sam Raimi movies.
And I mean, that's, you know, at the time, that was pretty impressive.
Sure.
Or it was, you know, the best they could do in a realistic budget. I mean, I guess as far as the character of Spider-Man, do you guys have any kind of nitpicks, complaints, things that you really liked about him?
I was annoyed that he learned how to be Spider-Man and how you learned how to web sling around like in 5 minutes.
Yeah, I was going to.
Go ahead.
It just seemed like it escalated very quickly. Everything.
Yeah.
Like, 1 minute he had just learned how to use the web, and then 2 minutes later he was in the full suit.
Yeah, my brother-in-law saw it with me, and he said the one nice thing about the Sam Raimi movie, the first one, was that you saw him learn how to use his powers.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing where it's like you're kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't, almost, in those kind of movies. Like, if you focus too long on the origin, which I would argue that probably both the first Sam Raimi movie and The Amazing Spider-Man probably took too long in the origin.
I agree.
It's like half the movie. And if you make it where you have, you know, more lengthy showing him learning how to use his powers, then you're going to add more length to the movie, and that's not, like, attractive length, because it's just, like, you get to see his growing pains. And
I mean, this movie was 2.5 hours long.
Yeah.
As it is.
I think it might have been maybe 215.
I think it was closer to 215.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Still.
It was still a long movie. Apparently it was cut to high hell. There's apparently a much different cut that exists out there, but we'll get to that a little later once we kind of go over the movie that it was.
What did you guys think of the lizard?
That would be a good spot to go next. I thought with what he was given, he did a good job, but it was just like Willem Dafoe light. Like, I mean, it's just the kind of thing where he wasn't really, like, I liked when he was the Lizard and they had fight scenes with him as the, like, fight scenes between Spider-Man and the Lizard, because that was, it was visually interesting. And it was kind of like, you're like, how the fuck is Spider-Man even going to knock this guy down?
Yeah.
Like, how is that going to happen?
I love the style of fighting they had Spider-Man use in this compared to the other movies, the Sam Raimi movies.
But then, like, when you had the Lizard talk as the Lizard, or when you had Riz Enfants go from, like, you know, super friendly doctor dude to just going batshit insane, like, that felt like it was just kind of like, all right, and now he's the villain.
Yeah, no, I get you there.
I mean, it's not like, I still enjoyed him as Kirk Connors, and I enjoyed the Lizard as the Lizard, but I guess when he was in the middle ground, when he was not quite Kirk Connors and he was not quite the Lizard, I didn't like it as much. I liked it when he was at either extreme.
I thought the Lizard, they did a real good job animating the Lizard. It was a cool effect, although he walked a little awkwardly. Well, what are you going to do with that? And I thought that the best scene in the movie didn't necessarily directly have to do with the Lizard, but it was when Spider-Man built his web in the sewer and he was feeling for vibrations.
Yeah. You know what's cool? You know what's kind of neat is that while I was playing the Wii game for review, I gave it a 6.5. It was surprisingly decent for what looked like a shitty Wii port. But they actually do have moments in the game where you do that, where you're in the sewers and I forget what they call it, but it's basically like, you know, you just set up those lines and then like pivot around looking for vibrations. So when I saw that in the movie, I was just like, oh wow, they actually kind of have some synergy there.
Yeah, that's good.
I mean, I really liked a lot of the things that he did with the web. It was creative, like, you know, kind of webbing people up. He webbed up his wound. That was pretty.
Yeah, that
pretty
was
interesting.
Cool.
I just liked what he did with it. Honestly,
what did you think of this? What did you guys think of the supporting cast, the aunt and uncle, and Mary Jane's, or not Mary Jane, sorry, Gwen Stacy's dad?
I guess starting with Aunt May and Uncle Ben. Sally Field is generally an actress that I like. She just looked like she was kind of like beaten or something.
Yes, she did.
She looked ragged as hell. And I guess maybe that fits with the character, and I think it does, honestly. But every time, like, they'd have a close-up on Sally Field, it'd be like, wow, I did not realize she was that old, or they had makeup that made her look that old. Although I think she is pretty old.
That's with makeup on, Neil.
Yeah. And then Martin Sheen is Uncle Ben. You know, he did a pretty good job. I didn't realize at the time, I realized it afterwards, I saw someone on the internet mention it, that they don't really have the traditional great power comes great.
No, they don't. I was looking for that, but I liked how they changed it.
No, that's basically almost word for word what Uncle Ben says to Peter Parker in Ultimate Spider-Man. Like that little paragraph, like, you know, that speech when then Peter's just like, well, where's my father? And then runs out and then Uncle Ben ends up dying. But I mean, it's
spoiler alert.
it's almost word for word. By the way, we are going to spoil some shit. We already have.
Also, Peter is bitten by a radioactive spider, and that's how he gains his powers.
I liked Uncle Ben more than I liked Uncle Ben and Sally Field more than you know, Rosemary Harris and Cliff Robertson.
I did too.
Played, the two in the Sam Raimi movies, but I think that's also like comparing two different things.
Also,
was supposed to be more modern, whereas the Sam Raimi movies are supposed to, they are almost the equivalent of the 60s Batman of the Spider-Man movie.
But in the Sam Raimi Spider-Man movies, his aunt and uncle could have easily been his grandpa and grandma. Yeah.
That's one thing that I'm glad they've kind of changed in some incarnations of Spider-Man, is making Aunt May and Uncle Ben like not just old decrepit people. I like that, like Ultimate Spider-Man, like they're hippies. Like,
right.
But yeah, as far as the other supporting cast, I liked Dennis Leary's Captain Stacy.
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't have too much to do, but I thought he did a good job with what he had.
He saved New York, man.
Yeah. I mean, way to go. Spoiler alert, he ends up biting the big one, which isn't really that much of a shock. It's also spoiled by the video game, which came out a week before the movie.
Oh, really?
I
was also thinking, shoot the Lizard in the head. In the head.
Yeah, there's. I mean, that's just what happens in movies. I liked Flash Thompson's characterization in the movie a whole lot.
Yeah,
because they
too.
Actually make him not a complete douche.
Yeah, he was nice to Peter after he heard Uncle Ben died.
Yeah, and I kind of like having that layer of depth. And, you know, I heard a little bit that because Flash Thompson is now Venom, In the comics. So
oh, really?
Maybe that guy will come back. I mean, he was good with what he did.
I thought Scorpion was the Venom now.
I have no fucking idea. Maybe. He probably was at some point. Everyone's been Venom.
That's true.
Captain America, Wolverine. I think I'm only half kidding, because they did have Spider-Man Web of Shadows, and a Wolverine gets
that's
the
right.
symbiote version. Who? What other supporting characters were there?
That was kind of it.
Yeah.
It was a very tightly cast movie.
They do have, I believe the character's name is Ratha, which is like the...
Norman Osborn's lackey?
Yeah, who just kind of like he gets attacked by the lizard and then you don't see him anymore. And this is where things getting cut to high hell comes into play. Because I'm into this sort of thing. I kind of looked into this a lot. And from earlier stuff dating back to as late as like early May, like, footage from the movie that was released in trailers and the like, there's like people were able to kind of piece together a scene that takes place most likely after the first confrontation between Spider-Man and the lizard on the bridge,
mm-hmm.
where Spider-Man kind of follows him back and Ratha is either caught by the lizard or, follows the lizard back. And then you kind of, it seems to be that it's implied that the lizard kills Ratha. But also during this, I think I'm saying his name right. I know he, at one point he was supposed to be like Von Adder or something, like some guy who turned into a Green Goblin incarnation or something along those lines. But his character just kind of got generic Oscorp exec. But I believe he was killed. And at some point, there's kind of a lot of stuff about, Peter Parker's parents and his destiny being mentioned, which was also mentioned in the trailers and never really brought up that much. I mean, it's teased. But, like, there's also a line in the trailers where the lizard bellows, like, if you want to find the truth about your parents, come and get it, Peter.
Oh, yeah.
I remember that.
And that's never uttered in the movie. So, obviously, that was recorded. So it seems like what was in a cut of the movie at one point was that Peter Parker's dad... like experimented on him when he was younger, which kind of made the spider bite activate his latent powers.
Ooh,
as opposed to, because you got to think is that like, in his genetic code and everything, it works. Whereas, with the lizard, it doesn't. With other people, it doesn't.
Right.
That little mouse, it doesn't.
I wondered about that too. You're right.
And actually in the video game, which I did play before the movie, that they do kind of talk about how the key to the antidote is Peter Parker's blood. Which isn't really touched on in the movie, but maybe it was at one point, because it does seem like there's parts of this movie that seem a little stilted, like they come out of nowhere a little bit, and that could just be, a little bit of hackneyed writing, but I think most of it is that it kind of got, cut to shreds, and that's kind of a bummer.
Well, that means we'll just have a, 4-hour director's cut DVD.
Well, who knows? I mean, if the studio did it, then we probably won't for a long, long time, because...
That's true.
If it's what the director wants, I don't think Mark Webb, in all his music video making and 500 days of summer making glory, I don't think he's the sway over Sony to be like, put out my Spider-Man movie.
It is appropriate that his last name is Webb.
Yeah, I do like that. I thought he did a very good job.
I also thought 500 Days of Summer was bullcrap.
I enjoyed the movie. It kind of, like, I saw that with having that guy do Spider-Man in mind. I'm like, yeah, I can see it. What else did I want to say? We should talk about the most bullshit mid-credit scene ever.
Wow, was it ever?
It led me into a tirade about how I don't like how... Like, I liked it when, like, the Iron Man post-credit shit was really concrete. Like, even if you don't know who Nick Fury is, you're like, oh shit, it's Samuel L. Jackson. The Avengers Initiative? That sounds fucking crazy. As opposed to, like, at the end of the Avengers where it's just like... fucking fucked up alien dude being like, master, and then like dude smiles and you're like, who the fuck is that? It's dark. I don't know who this purple motherfucker is.
Somebody and told me on Twitter, now I forget.
Oh, I mean, I knew who it was, but that's because I'm a pretty big Marvel Comics fan. I mean, comics fan in general. So I kind of knew, like, I was like, oh shit, it's Thanos.
That's
kind of
right.
Cool, but it's just like, I'm not normal in that regard. Like, I think I saw Avengers with like 4 or 5 people. I had to explain it to nearly everybody.
I had to Google it as soon as I got out of the theater to find out who
it was. And
I thought it was Galactus.
Yeah, with Amazing Spider-Man, it was even worse. Because, like, if you've seen the movie, I assume you stayed for the mid-credits, because let's get real, if you really want to see any movie these days, you got to stay till the end, because they always have something there.
Yep.
And basically, it's just like, Kirk Connors, the Lizard, he's not the Lizard right now, he's put into, like, some kind of jail or psych ward, whatever. And he's put in the cell, door shut, dude appears. I think he's wearing a hat.
But not really.
Yeah.
He's completely just like, in the shadows.
Yep. Did you tell the boy about his father? Leave the boy alone! Leave the boy alone! And then he just disappears.
Fade to black.
Fade to black. And I might be missing, you know, some incidental dialogue, but that's basically what happens. It's just, did you tell the boy about his father? Which also, by the way, in the fucking commercials and trailers. And it's not really clear who that is.
At all.
It seems like it's probably Norman Osborn, who later becomes the Green Goblin.
No, it can't be, because Norman Osborn's in a bed dying somewhere.
Well, I mean, they don't tell you what level
yeah,
of his...
Yeah, I guess you're right, yeah.
People are saying that, like, you know, how did that guy get into the jail cell? Maybe, you know, Kirk Connors is just, like, hallucinating. And then Rizon Fons, the guy who played Kirk Connors in the movie, apparently said in an interview that, like, oh, it's not Norman Osborn, but they know who it is. And she's like, then who the fuck is it? Is it, like, the dude who becomes the... Is it Adrian Toomes? Is it the
Ooh,
guy who becomes the
Vulture? That'd be cool.
I mean, really, like, it's just... It's...
Poorly done.
It is the dumbest, like, sequel tease I've ever seen in a movie.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
they could have easily not had that in the movie and it wouldn't have mattered at all.
You know how you do a fucking sequel tease in a movie? The end of Batman Begins. It's just like, you know, people are getting crazier. Look, it's a Joker card. Dude calls himself the Joker. Like, one, everyone knows who the fucking Joker is. Two, like, even if you don't, it's just like, okay, yeah, he's going to fight more criminals. Done.
Right. There will be a sequel.
Yeah, I mean... It seems like Amazing Spider-Man is doing well enough. I think it crossed like 500 million worldwide.
Nice.
It's not like setting the world aflame domestically, but it's also tough. I mean, it's coming out in between Avengers, which was an absolute juggernaut, and then Dark Knight Rises will likely completely push Spider-Man to the background. But I think it did well enough that we will likely see a sequel to this. That excites me, because I feel like this movie just laid very good groundwork for a new universe.
Yeah. It's a shame though that we should wrap this up, but it's a shame that Spider-Man and the Avengers won't be able to share screen time, because now they're is Sony and one is not.
Did you hear that supposedly in the Avengers Sony was working with them to kind of have a mention of Oscorp?
Oh really?
Yeah, but I think it was just like it would have cost, like, they kind of ran out of time to like get the CG ready for the movie or something.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a chance you might see a cameo.
So the last thing I want to know before I sign off here is, what do you guys think of the new costume?
I liked it.
I did too.
It was cool.
Yeah.
It looked better in the movie than it did in, like, Entertainment Weekly.
All right, and I know you got to get going, Zach, but I do have one more question, just because this was something that really pissed off Lauren. When you had, at the end of the movie, Captain Stacy in his dying breath, tells, you know, Peter Parker, Spider-Man, being like,
stay
the fuck away from my daughter. And he takes it to heart, like, doesn't go to Captain Stacy's funeral. And, like, they have this whole big dramatic thing where, like, Gwen Stacy comes up to him and Peter Parker's just like, I have to stay, or he doesn't say anything. And Gwen Stacy's just like, my dad told you to stay away from me, right? And then, like, he goes to school, sitting in front of him, and just like, you know, he's late to class. He says to the teacher, I promise it won't happen again. And then,
the best,
you know,
promises are the ones you don't keep.
Well, he says, you know, don't make promises you can't keep. And then Peter Parker whispers to Gwen Stacy, you know, but those are the best ones. And
I thought that was
Gwen Stacy
such
gets a little
a
wet.
Dick move.
Yeah. It's just kind of like, hey, Dennis Leary, I'm pissing on your grave.
And Gwen Stacy's okay with it. She's like, awesome.
Dude, she wants her spider loving.
But yeah, I walked out of the theater thinking Spider-Man's a dick.
Yeah. And I guess one to grow on, I was reading about this Lizard comic story that I don't even know when it happened. Did you know that, like, in the comics he fucking ate his kid?
Seriously?
Yeah.
Wow.
How fucked up is that?
Which comic?
I don't know. I think it's called, like, Shed or something. I don't know when it came out. It was just someone being like, this is the most fucked up lizard story ever. And I was reading about it. I'm like, yeah, it kind of is. He eats his kid.
Nice.
And also, I guess one final parting note is that there were scenes shot with Kirk Connors' kid and his wife, but they were just not in the movie.
They took it. They took out the scene where Connors eats his kid and wife.
I was reading like an interview, or I was watching like a interview on YouTube of like the kid who played Kirk Connors' son, and there's just a bunch of YouTube comments being like, "Where the fuck were you in the movie, kid? Like, come on." But yeah, that's the Amazing Spider-Man.
It's good. Go see it.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. We'll be doing probably one of these on Batman that will.
You don't have to stay through the credits though.
Yeah, because motherfucker's just gonna die. Like, I don't know who's gonna die, but motherfuckers are gonna die.
Oh no,
I'm
Spider-Man.
Oh yeah. I don't
know. I'll bet he dies in Batman.
They've never had.
I think he's gonna die.
They've never had a post-credits scene in a Nolan Batman movie. So
Bane will kill him. Bane will snap him over his leg.
Dude, I'm so excited. All right,
me too.
We'll save that for next time. Bye.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.